It is Sunday morning, September the 1st, and we are ready to continue our series of messages from the book of 1 John. It's 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 2. In this first epistle of John, the subject is fellowship with God. The primary purpose of our salvation is to have fellowship with God, which is the greatest of all human experience. In the first four verses, John is writing about the fact of fellowship. As he says, "Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So he's stating it as a fact. The apostles are in fellowship with God. In verses 5 through 7, John writes about the realm of fellowship, being in the light, walking in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, I think it's important that we understand that fellowship is our position. It is given to us by the Lord. And it is clearly stated here that we walk in the light. As he is the light, we have fellowship. So it is a position. There is the fact of fellowship, and there is this realm of fellowship where we live in the light with God. Now today we come to verses 8 through 10, which brings up the experience of our communion with God, or the problems that develop in our communion with God. Let me read the passage. Verse 8. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Now we pick up in verse 8 to realize that the reality of sinfulness is sometimes denied if we say that we have no sin. We come into this problem of denying our condition. We are denying the root of sin that is within us. The inheritance of Adam's sin nature belongs to all of us. Sin is a root within us. It is strong. It is embedded. It is our nature. It is our character, so that we can rightfully say, "I not only commit sins, I am sin. I am polluted. I am contaminated. I am impure. I am sinful." And we must not deny that condition. If we do deny that, we are self-deceived. And in that condition, we begin to make excuses. And we begin to make alibis. And we take no responsibility. Someone else caused this. Furthermore, the truth is denied. Now, no one is innocent. This involves everyone. And here is the claim being made. I am sinless. We say we have no sin. We're claiming to be sinless. We're claiming to live with perfection. And of course, that cannot be. I am a sinner. All have sinned. And today, with modern psychology and the way our society and culture thinks and lives, sin is a word that is left out, and we substitute the word mistake. I made a mistake. No, I sinned. You didn't make a mistake. You sinned against God. And it is not because of outside influence. It is because of our own sinful being. Do not deny. And do not deny the truth. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We must not deny that. Now, in the second place, in verse 10, the reality of committing sins is denied. In verse 8, we have the root of sin. In verse 10, we have the fruit of sin. The actual commitment of sins is being denied. It is refusing, it is denying, it is lying, so much that even the small child learns quickly to say, "I didn't do it." Yes, you did it. You sinned. You commit sins. Now, verse 10 tells us that to do this is to disregard God's word. To disregard the daily events of falling short of the glory of God and committing willful sin and having sinful habits in our life. We do sin. We must not deny that. Verses 8 and 10. Now we come to verse 9. Which is probably one of the most abused and misinterpreted verses in all of Scripture. Listen to this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. While the reality of sin and sinning is sometimes denied, yet for Christians, there is the fact that the reality of sin is confessed. And that occurs because the Holy Spirit continues to convict us of sin. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to confess. Now, there's a mistaken interpretation here about this verse. And the popular idea is this, that we go in and out of fellowship. When we sin, we're out of fellowship. The moment we say the words of confession, we pop back into fellowship, in and out. If that is true, that occurs in our life at least 1,000 times a day. The least impure thought, the least thought that falls short of the glory of God is sin. So we sin. And if we are out of fellowship, that is a very serious condition. That is the same as losing salvation. No, it cannot be that. We do not lose fellowship. And we do not lose communion. But sin in our life brings a problem, and this is our experience. Our communion is disturbed. Not lost, but disturbed. Our joy is not full. Our peace is clouded, and we live with a guilty conscience. So there is a problem for us. We have not lost our salvation. We have not lost our fellowship. We have not lost our communion. But there is a cloud. And we feel that. communion is disturbed. Now the instruction here is to confess. Confession means to agree with God. If we do not confess, we are not in agreement with God. We are denying God's word and we're calling him a liar. And what the Bible calls for is a true, honest, sincere acknowledgement. I am sin. I have sinned. I do sin. And that confession brings assurance of communion with the Lord. And notice what the verse says. God is faithful in keeping his promises and his word. And as we confess, by the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the cloud is lifted, peace comes, joy is restored. And our communion is no longer disturbed. Now, another thing we must understand regarding this verse. You could almost read verse 9 to say, if we confess our sin, then God forgives us. And come to the conclusion that our salvation is based on our confession. And that is not true. Our salvation is based on the sacrificial death of Christ, which has been accomplished and is done and is finished. Confession does not bring salvation. Confession brings the assurance of communion and fellowship with God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all our sin. And so we realize that God releases us from feeling guilty. He pays the penalty we deserve to pay. He removes the defilement, that is, purifies us and cleanses us. And the confession brings to our experience a flushing out, a release, and climbing out from under the bondage of the guilty conscience. All of this is because God is able to do this for us. God is competent, and God is powerful. And God is sovereign over our sin. And so in this passage of Scripture, our position is not lost, it is secure. Our fellowship is not lost. Our communion is not lost. But the confession of our sin brings the joy and the communion flows. Now, we are under the grace of God, and we understand that by that, God has provided for our salvation. We could not make that provision for ourselves. God did it for us. He provided for our salvation. Now, as a Christian, we must know and realize He has provided for our communion. And that we need not live day by day under the bondage of that guilty conscience. And the exhortation, therefore, is do not live in defeat. Do not live under guilt. Confess sin. In fact, confession is a way of life. It's the way we live. We always agree with God, so that there is confession in our life. In fact, if there is no confession, there is no grace. The evidence that the grace of God is in our life is that we do confess. So as we catch the message of 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, let us live under grace. Let us live by the blood that brings forgiveness and cleansing, and enjoy the greatest of all human experience, to live in communion and fellowship with the Lord our God. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the privilege and the provision of our salvation. And living here as a Christian with the temptation and influences around us and our own sinfulness, we sometimes get down on ourselves and live in defeat and discouragement, under pressure, under stress, in depression. Thank you for this passage of Scripture which teaches us how to live with this sinfulness that is in us, and how to live in communion and fellowship with you to experience that joy. Lord God, we pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, this passage of Scripture will be an impact on our lives this morning and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.